Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chai Chat, and this is the show where we are going to instigate transformation of the world of work. We're here to create some really cool changes, and I'm Victoria Vatier. I am an Enlightened Life Coach and Consultant, and I am here with my wonderful co-host, the creative leadership guru, Mary Rockenstein. Hey, Mary, how you doing in this spring?
Hey, everybody. I'm great, Victoria. How are you?
I'm good. This is my favorite time of year. I'm looking out the window at my pansies right now as we do the show. So I'm just rocking and rolling. This is a lovely time of year for me. So I'm all perky and ready to do another show on generations. So, you know,
yay.
We've done, this is our, we're going to get into some juicy stuff in a minute, folks, but this is our 11th show. We're almost to a dozen, and, you know, we've covered some really interesting ground since we started our first show in November last year, and we just want to invite you to kind of, you know, look at the archives shows and see what's there, because, you know, we've really taken the topics and evolved from a broad perspective in terms, you know, of the earlier shows and then moved it to where the rubber meets the road on a lot of the more recent shows. And we really think that there's such good content there that you can take advantage of. So please do, you know, look back at the shows and take a listen to some of the ones that we've already offered. Right, Mary? Some good stuff in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things too, Victoria, you know, we've mentioned before to our listeners that we are both located in different suburbs of Columbus. So we're in the central Ohio area, but you know, if you're listening in, and kind of funny, if you think that, you know, I really wish some people in my workplace would listen into this topic, you know, if you can't get them to listen to the broadcast, you know, get in contact with either one of us, because we're talking about going out and doing some lunch and learns to really expand on some of the great content that we've already presented, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this brings it right, you know, to your workplace, and it's certainly more fun to learn this stuff, you know, in person, and we'd love to meet some of you. So, yeah, and if you're not in the local area, we have some creative ideas about how to bring these topics to you, too. So reach out to us no matter where you are if you would like to bring some of this information and magic into your world of work and transform some things and be an instigator with us, okay? So
we'll conspire
to some transformational change here. So last show, we did a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this whole big topic of generations. And, you know, our heads have been spinning looking at all the material on this topic, because it's quite timely, it's quite important, and it's quite pertinent as the generations, you know, shift and change, and the percentages shift around here as the years go by. And we have, you know, last show we rolled out some explanations for some of these things. We looked at some of the issues. And this show, you know, we're really going to look at, okay, what do we do about the differences and the challenges that are involved in, you know, different generations, which seem like they come from different planets sometimes, to work together and to, you know, come to some point of effective, you know, working in teams and collaborating in organizations. Right, Mary?
Absolutely, yes. And that's where I think we, you know, where we grab the title from too, Victoria, moving from generation me to generation we, right?
Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we want to talk about some foundational pillars here. We're going to, you know, lay out some really neat ideas here about what are some foundational pieces that really need to be in place in order to make this work and to make the working together of the generations, you know, the gestalt of this, you know, the whole being greater than the sum of the parts, happen. This is very important that we are able to look at this as we move forward in a way that makes, you know, work life greater and makes it more meaningful and makes the disengagement levels drop, hopefully.
Hmm.
sooner than later, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Mary, tell us about some of you've been doing some real cool thinking here about these foundational pieces that we'd like to offer people.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know about all of our listeners, but I know many of us are, you know, we're visualizers, right? We kind of have to form this mental picture, you know, to really grasp some of this stuff. So when we started our last show, you know, we talked about, and it bothers me a lot when people talk about the, you know, the generation gap, because that implies negative. It implies, you know, we're all standing at the you know, the footholds of the, you know, at the top, or I should say the top of the Grand Canyon, which is a pretty big gap, and ready to just push each other over because we're so frustrated. You know, that's what I visualize when I visualize the generation gap. And so it was an intentional play on words when we started talking about generational bridges, because I really think that if we focus on really just five core areas and we think about any one of these as being kind of a beam or an arch or a support mechanism, by which the more of these we lay, the greater the bridge becomes. And so we start with greater understanding of each other, and, you know, we start to create something really positive instead of a gap, which I think can be very negative. So the five areas, Victoria, that I've been thinking about as I reflect back on, you know, just my experience and just reading that I've done about generations in the workplace, I think five areas that could be these beams would be teamwork. I think communication is another one, a topic that we've already addressed a little bit in one or more of our shows, which would be, you know, diversity and authenticity in particular. Flexibility would be a fourth, and then lastly, mentorship. So what I thought we could do is kind of take a look at each one of them separately, move through, and I've got a couple of examples I'll share. And Victoria, your wisdom is always welcome because you come at this from a totally different perspective, which I think is really invaluable. I really do. So starting off with, let's take a look first at teamwork. That is probably one of the most overused words, I think. But when I think about teamwork, I think about, you know, we're all different, we're all unique, we're all authentic, but everybody's kind of rowing in the same direction. And in the workplace, when I think about teamwork, I think about, I don't know of anybody or any generation that loves to be micromanaged. So I think, you know, for leaders, a starting point in terms of getting people to work together is, you know, I think the challenge of a leader when you're assigning projects or putting together work teams is to paint the picture of what that destination needs to be, but then let people create their own journey and, you know, in terms of how they get there. And if they're ready to fall into, you know, something that is either going to damage them personally or hurt the company, then of course you jump in and you help and you redirect. But I don't know of any better way of learning than through some hiccups and some failure every now and then. Would you agree, Victoria?
Absolutely. I you know, failure is, there is no failure. There wisdom. And so
failure is really
a big chunk of wisdom coming our way.
Yeah. So aside from the micromanaging, I had never heard of this experiment before, but as fate would have it, I just stumbled on this. And apparently, this is pretty recent, but back in March, the airline JetBlue was flying from, I think it was from Boston to Phoenix, and they had a full flight. They had 150 people on this plane, and at the beginning of the flight, one of the JetBlue executives got up and said, "Hey, we're going to do a little social experiment here. We're kind of tired of everything that's happening in the government, and, you know, everybody's just bashing each other. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle that you're on." And so they titled this experiment, you know, Reach Across the Aisle. And so what they did, they said, hey, if by the time we land, we can get 100%, you know, agreement on one thing, and the one thing is if you could pick a destination that you would each want to go to, we'll give you one free round-trip ticket. But the gist of it is you all have to agree on the same destination. We're not going to go to three or four different places. So they threw out that challenge, and it was interesting because in this article they mentioned that all of the generations were represented on this plane. You know, so it was traditionalists, it was baby boomers, it was Gen X, it was millennials, you know, and Generation Z. It was all of that. So the first two rounds that they went through was really just to kind of skinny down the list of destinations, and that was really majority ruled. But when they got down to the two choices were Turks, Caicos, and then Costa Rica, and it was just really interesting to read, and then I watched a short video on it that really showed some of the dynamic about how these different generations were coming together, and through, you know, because the reward was great enough, because we get a free round trip ticket to go somewhere internationally if that's where we choose, and that's obviously what they chose. They actually succeeded. Before the flight landed, they came together and just said, you know what, we're going to go to Costa Rica. And what was so cool about that, and if you watch the little video that went along with this, the people from JetBlue are like, can you imagine how different things would be in Washington, D.C. if we all just adopted the same kind of attitude? So I don't know. Victoria, what do you think about that?
I think we need to vote in to major political positions the people from JetBlue.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think you're right.
That's a brilliant social psychological experiment. As a social psychologist myself, absolutely love it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, when I think about teamwork, I wanted to share those examples, but I also believe that, you know, let's keep it simple for our listeners. So it's like, okay, but how do I take this back? So here's what I think about teamwork. I think that, you know, compromise is easy and teamwork is easy if the reward is meaningful. I don't know if you would add any texture to that, Victoria, but that's what I think about when I think about teamwork and generations working together.
Well, it's true, and the thing that has to be handled with some finesse is the differences in the way that the generational cohort groups think in terms of what is meaningful for them. So if we can come up with a sophisticated enough, you know, version of where everybody can lean toward, then everybody can lean together.
Yeah, and maybe we just agree to fly them all to Costa Rica if they complete the project.
I think so. I'm
on
that one. Yeah. Either one.
I'm in. Yes. All right. Well, let's take a look at move into communication next. Yeah, I used to work for a company that specialized in communication and helping clients be better communicators. And, you know, I learned it's pretty simple but tough lesson there, and it was kind of like, wow, I never really thought about it this way before. But, you know, I kind of fell into that trap that many generations fall into. Well, I sent you the email or I left a voice message, and, you know, if you didn't get it. But communication, if it's done correctly, it's two-way. So it isn't just about sending the message. Yes, the message must be received, but it also must be understood. So I'm going to go back to Victoria. One of the examples I just want to share very quickly about communication and how this can, you know, hurt generations or help generations. But, you know, some people are fanatics about email. You know, I would say in particular, maybe fanatic is a strong word, but I think Gen X in particular and probably boomers like to use a lot of email. And back in February, you and I had a very special guest on, Tim Sanders, an author who's written several books. In fact, the day that we had him on, which I think was the 16th of February, he had just launched his latest book, Deal Storming. And Tim, I've read a couple of Tim's books. They're excellent. Watched several videos of Tim. And a point that he makes, which really stuck with me, is you should never deliver bad news in an email, and I would say also in a text message. And if you have bad news to share with a person or a team, you know, one of the ways that we can start bridging generations is don't deliver that in an email. That's kind of a passive-aggressive way out, and you have no idea how damaging that could be to the recipient. So, and the other thing I would add to email, as long as I'm talking about this, how many times have we sent out emails and then we start to get into conversations on email? And I just scratch my head. It's like, you know what? Either go out, get off out of your office or cubicle, wherever you are, and go talk to that person. Or if you're working geographically, that doesn't work, you're out of state, out of city, what have you, then pick up the phone. But email is not the best venue intergenerationally or, you know, in the same generation to be having these long, drawn-out conversations. And I think we also have to make sure that we understand that just because if I send Victoria an email right after the show, my expectation can't be that she's going to read it and respond within 10 seconds because I thought this was important to let her know. You know, she may not even be on email. And Victoria, I was teaching a seminar not too long ago, and it was more about connection, but certainly communication came up. And I had somebody who was not in my generation who was listening in and said, well, you know, I disagree with you because I use email for this, 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 and this. And this person worked in a part of the company where oftentimes they would send out instructions, and their comment was, you know, it's just easier to send it out via email. I said, yeah, I agree with that. But I said, do you also find yourself getting into bantering back and forth because the people to whom you send this email with all these instructions, they get confused? Does that ever happen? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, so what do you do? Well, I just email them back. I said, And does that solve the problem? Well, no. And I said, okay, here's my point. When you're sending out a long list of instructions, again, if you really want to serve all generations, leave an open door and say, if this is confusing or if any of these steps are not crystal clear, please call me. You know, please call me. And, you know, their light bulb went off. They're like, oh, I never really thought about that. I said, well, again, because we're just, some of us are stuck in either text mode or email mode, right? Do you see that in your work as well?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, the thing is, again, I think this goes back to cohort group. It's most likely that the example you gave, and I don't know, you know, would fit more of a sort of a Gen X understanding of how one uses email. Email's often used to, of course, save time, the obvious, but also to save face and not have to necessarily do something more intimate, like talk to somebody in real time.
Exactly.
However, the fallout from that is that there often is a waste of time because now there's confusion and there's back and forth, but also in the attempt to save face, you often inadvertently may offend or put something out there that's not received well.
Right.
Because, again, there's an awful lot that somebody can fill in the gap.
Yeah, exactly.
That emails leave. So, you know, again, the more concise you are, the more that's left out of the message. And if there's something that needs to be communicated that is nuanced, that has to do with, you know, someone maybe reacting in a certain way or information that's very complicated and may involve a lot of questions back, that's probably not the way to do it. So, again, you know, depending on the cohort group, there's going to be a tendency to lean towards certain modes of communication or certain styles of communication. But again, sometimes in attempting to either save time or save face, you're making more of a problem for yourself and you're going to waste an awful lot more time.
Yeah, and have a lot
more miscommunication happening.
Well, it was interesting because I think what the greater group, which was, again, a mixed generational group, came up with is if it's something that's relational, and it becomes relational, even if it was initially an instructional, you know, do these 10 things, it becomes relational when the person fights back and says, I don't understand step three, or I tried step three and it doesn't work. You know, it now becomes relational. And when it becomes relational, you have to move out of email. You have to either pick up the phone, which in most cases I think is more realistic, or go see that person in general. But think about it this way, because, you know, advertising has been telling us this forever. When you're communicating new information, or if you're trying to sell somebody on something, it generally takes at least three, you know, points, three impressions, if you will, for somebody to really grasp. So maybe you send an email, but then wait a day if you don't get a response and follow up with a phone call or in person or what have you. But the bottom line is, you know, people, millennials love texting, you know, and I actually have a client that's a millennial that I will text. But then I also will say to her, you know, hey, I just sent you an email with some attachments. Please read this. Call me if you have any questions, et cetera. And she really appreciates that. And she also understands that I can't send her a text. It's more than 140 characters.
Yeah, well, that's it. And well, the other thing is, too, that interestingly enough, text, in a way, is more intimate than email.
Yeah.
Because it's more immediate. And that's kind of the way that millennials speak, but they speak more in real time to one another through text.
Yeah.
Emails
yeah.
are kind of once removed, which is more of a throwback to sort of what Gen X grew up on. You know, and then, of course, you know, baby boomers, the phone. So it's just different what you're used to and what constitutes communication to you. And I'll just throw in one radical thought here to sum up communication. It's all relational.
It is all relational. It is. So,
I
would just add to that, too, just to further summarize this, is, you know, think about, was my message received and was it understood in the way that I wanted it to be? Because I don't think we sit around wanting to, you know, antagonize people all day long. So really, really think about that. I want to dip into diversity, and authenticity. And I'm going to really fly through this one because we've spent previous shows talking a little bit about authenticity. But, you know, the thing that comes to mind, and I'm just going to cut to the chase because it's the summary, too. We got to stop focusing on well, this person's no good at that, and this person's old, and they don't know technology, and this person is, you know, doesn't know how to look me in the eye. And instead of really focusing on, again, what we don't do and what we're not good at, we really have to go back and start to look at the talent and the skill and the strengths that we bring to work. It should be more about building strengths and focusing on strengths instead of trying to fix blind spots, which we don't have, and some of which, you know, could be generationally driven. So I go back to the question I always ask people. I will ask C-suite people this every time I'm in a company and they start pointing the finger at, you know, I need to replace this person because. First question I ask them is, are you better off with them or without them? Because I really want them to focus on what are they bringing to the organization. And when you ask that question, oh, well, yeah, they are really good at this and they do this better than anybody. So I think to really summarize diversity and authenticity, again, you ask yourself, are we stronger together with our differences than without? And I really think if you ask yourself that tough question, you start to reach across the aisles and realize, I don't do this really well, but you do, and I need you on my team.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to throw out some interesting little tidbit here. You know, they talk about the golden rule. Well, I'm going to just mention there's something I consider to be sort of the Native American rule, which is try to walk, you know, a mile in someone's moccasins just for a second. So sometimes it's important to understand where they're coming from. There's a reason.
Well, and you just opened the door for the fourth area, flexibility, because the point that I want to make in flexibility, which is very common, I really love what you just said. I've never heard that, the Native American.
That's because I made it up.
You may. Okay. Hey, okay. That, you know what? That's okay. We're allowed to do that, right?
Okay, good.
But there is something that's different. You know, I still hear companies that embrace the golden rule. And you know, part of it is, well, it's biblical and it's something that internationally, it's like, you know what? I get all of that and I respect that. But I learned something from a Gen Xer years ago who pointed me to, you know what, Mary, it's not really about the golden rule, it's about the platinum rule. And the platinum rule, the golden rule, of course, is treat others the way you want to be treated. But if you think about generations, we're all different. So we don't necessarily want to be treated necessarily in each situation the same way other than with respect, you know, whatever that looks like. So I advocate, you know, and it's my summary of the flexibility section is practice the platinum rule. Treat others the way that they want to be treated, which means that you really have to get to know people. You have to know what you know, what's in their hearts and minds, what their dreams are, what their passions are, what their fears are. And when you really start to get to know that as individuals, regardless of what generation they're in, it just makes it so much easier to practice, you know, the platinum rule. So, but I like yours too. I had never heard that before, and I like that as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
now we have
the
one
last
more pillar. Wait, we've got four pillars. We have one
we
more.
We have one more.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah.
We do. And it's one of my faves. It is really one of my favorites, and it's mentorship. You know, I've benefited from some very important mentors in my life that I've had, and two of which I still consider to be ongoing mentors, even though they're both retired at this point. But, you know, if you consider that millennials right now are probably the largest generation that we have in the workplace, I believe it was last year that they surpassed baby boomers. And Gen X is, you know, a smaller generation anyway. If you think about that, you know, we've got to start getting millennials and Gen X, quite frankly, developed for the leadership roles that are now starting to become available because baby boomers are starting to retire. And I'm very interested in leadership development from everything that I've read. But Victoria, here's the thing. People think of leadership as a noun. They think of it as a position. Well, there aren't that many leadership positions. I come from the school of thought that leadership is not a noun, it's a verb, and anybody in any organization at any level can lead from where they stand if they know how to influence in a positive way and if they're a good connector. And so, you know, I look at as baby boomers are retiring, one of the things that we need to do is to kind of pass it on to Gen X and Gen Y, but do it in a way that, you know, we start to groom them and I'll use the word mentor, we mentor and coach them to become the great leaders that they can be. What do you think about that?
No, I like that. I've never thought about that before, but to me, leadership is an element of service. It's not a job role necessarily.
No.
Not, you know, that's a leadership role. No, anything is a leadership role depending on how you look at it or what, you know, you are gifted to give, you know.
Yes.
And some people really are born, you know, into a sense of being able to lead and easily. And whether you are or you're not, it's not in the role. It's in who you are.
It's in who you are, and you're right. And it's about adding value. And that's what I was thinking about when you were talking. It's like you're really talking about adding value. You know, how can everybody can add value, you know, from where they fit. Yeah. So when I
inside out kind of thing too. What we were talking about earlier shows about outside in, inside out. In my mind, leadership is something that needs to be shared. You know, the world invites you to share this from the inside out. It's not don't wait for somebody to give you the nod. You step up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just very quickly, you know, I picked mentoring, but I'm going to slide coaching in there too. Mentoring and coaching are very different. If you've read any of my recent posts on LinkedIn, I'm pretty fanatical about this. Mentoring is really, let me show you, I'm going to show you how I've walked in my shoes because I think this will help you and I'm going to bring you along. And mentoring is very, very positive and very helpful. Victoria and I are both coaches, and we don't tell people what we would do in any given situation. It's really more about helping get people past this hurdle called limiting beliefs, and we teach people kind of how to think for themselves. Coaching is very different. I think they're both powerful, and I'm starting to see more and more people have a mentor and a coach, and I think that's really, really powerful to do that. So in summary, I would say about mentorship, Victoria, it's pass it on. You know, we have to start preparing to pass the torch and pass it on.
Yeah.
So
well,
there's
again,
my
these,
there's
if you
my
think
bridges.
About these five pillars. Yeah, no, I think they're awesome. And again, these are foundational elements to being able to take the issue of generational challenge and make it, you know, generational power to be able to empower the inner relationships. You know, the fabric can be a very strong one if it involves, you know, different sorts of threads of people coming from different perspectives and bringing in, you know, something that ends up being stronger than one kind of thread.
And isn't it more beautiful if we use different colors
absolutely.
Of threads? Yeah.
Absolutely. So this is a very, a very important, you know, kind of blending of these things, and to think about it this way. And again, we'll bring this material to your organization, and you know, what organization doesn't need these kinds of things to be the foundations for how they move forward with different cohort groups involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Very good. And we've seen examples too in the work that we've done with people that we've coached or organizations that we've consulted with. Right, Mary? You've been out there doing some interesting kinds
absolutely.
Of
I
work
really
with
do
people.
Think
why don't you share some of your stories with us here for a minute?
Yeah. Well, there really are some companies out there, Victoria, that are starting to grasp this. And I'm excited because I've been to two organizations in the last week who have both said, hey, we're listening to your Chai Chat. So I think that's very cool. I think, you know, people are really starting to grasp that, you know, we're not presenting topics that are woohoo, you know, out there. These are topics that really will help, again, transform your world at work and make it a much better environment for all.
And that's exactly right. And, you know, Mary gave a good example of a social experiment that, that we talked about. Is there anything that you've been working with people lately that you can throw out there to be a good example of any of the things we just talked about, just to kind of let people know how this shows up?
Well, I think I've seen examples. Excuse me. I think I've seen examples of all of these in place with companies that are really the term I've heard a couple people use recently. Sometimes you have to get raw, and you really have to expose the wounds before you can start to build these arches or expanses
absolutely.
That will become the foundation for the bridge. And that's what I'm starting
absolutely.
To see, some companies that are really being very, very brave and starting to just expose the rawness, because you have to do that. You really do.
Absolutely. And we want to also mention that, you know, one home play, we'd like to give you a home play at the end of each show, and this one might be, why don't you see if you can see an opportunity to focus on building a beam, you know, of one of these five beams that we just gave you. Maybe there's a place in your workplace or on your team that you can actually begin to operationalize one of these things that we just talked about with you at your workplace, and really add some value and build, you know, some bridges and fortify some real know, respect for working together with people that are different from you. So take a look
Excellent.
At where you might have an opportunity to focus on one of these. Next shows, we're going to be working with the topic of gender, which interplays quite well with the last 2 months' worth of topics that we've been doing. So we'll show you where some of this interrelates, and gender is another really juicy topic that we're going to, you know, kind of break it down for you and show you some interesting things about how to transform your workplace and see how gender fits in and how
Excellent.
That element
Can't wait.
Yeah, works for you. So we're just about out of time. We're going to wish you a good rest of the month, and we will see you early in May with our next show on gender. Right, Mary?
Absolutely. Have a great
All right.
Weeks,
Have a good
everyone.
Spring day, everybody. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.